Scott Levy is with us this morning. He is the president of Arley Wholesale Ceramic Tile Stone Organization. Scott, how are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Dave. How are you?
I'm doing well. I always like talking to you. You're a button-down guy, and that's a nice, refreshing conversation for me usually. Let me ask you first about coverings. How would you assess the show? I know you went.
You know, I thought it was really, really much better than people anticipated. It was about 50% of the size. But, you know, for the factories that were there, I know they were thrilled because everyone that was there was serious. You know, there was steady traffic all the days of the show. People had more time to spend with the factories, which I think everyone appreciated. It was easier to get a lot more done at the show. And I know from talking to many of the factories and the agents that I know, they sold way more than they anticipated. So I think everyone really came out of it as a success.
So the number of exhibitors that had to be down, how much down was that?
It was about 50%. I mean, there was 50% of floor space taken, but it was, you know, the serious people were there. What you also saw was you didn't see the size of the booths you normally see, because normally the factories will fly over people from their country to come set up the booths. Uh-huh. That obviously can't happen at this time in our lives. So things were much smaller. They were much more condensed. But for the people, someone like ourselves who has been going to shows forever, we know what to look for. You know, we don't need the pomp and circumstance. We need the product. We need to know the availability. We need to know how the marketing will be, how it will work for our customers. None of that other stuff really matters. So for us, it was fine.
So the products you needed to see were there.
Correct.
Excellent. Now, did most of your customers go, or do you encourage them to go?
We do encourage them to go. This year, you did not see a lot of them, and that did not surprise me. I do know for some of the distributors that are, let's say, more located near the Orlando area, they had about half, if not less than that, of their customers that came. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is just, you know, really the entire country is involved in a hiring situation. It's hard to have people, it's hard to man your store, and we're all in the middle, thankfully, of a nice boom right now in our industry. So if your store is booming and you can't man it fully, coming to coverings is not so important unless you're really a container buyer. That's another reason why we believe that the traffic overall was kind of lower than before.
Who basically attends coverings? Who are the largest, what is the largest group of attendees? Is that distributors?
From a nationwide perspective, I would have to say distributors. From a local perspective, it really depends on where the show is. So this year, I mean, I did see a lot of Florida customers that were there because it's only a few hours drive for them. When the show is out in Las Vegas, you'll notice a lot of the California customers and the, you know, the Western customers are there. So, you know, a lot of it is dependent. To go to a trade show and only drive 2 hours to go there, that's easy. To get on a plane and fly halfway across the country, you should be serious. And that's why you see a lot of distributors are the ones that come.
So other than distributors, I know there's a lot of international people there. I suppose there are large retailers there. Who else? Or are there?
I mean, there's some designers. There are some large architects, designers, people looking to do large projects, people looking for the next big thing. You see that as well. I mean, there is a cross section of people, but the primary purpose of it is really for the residential and commercial distribution companies to come in and really put together their programs for the coming season.
Well, it is an extremely beautiful show. And I suspect that, you know, with about half the people, half the exhibitors not there, you know, it was somewhat less beautiful, I suppose.
Yes, I mean, most of the displays and booths were not of the usual scale that you see. That is true. And, you know, for a lot of these factories, remember, to get anyone from another country into the U.S., you're quarantining first for 2 weeks in either the Dominican Republic or Mexico, which personally, I'll tell you, I think is the biggest scam in the world. And I would sign up for that any day to go quarantine there. But they have to quarantine there first, and then they have to come into the U.S., so you're looking at so much time away from home. A lot of them just didn't come, and it wasn't worth it for them to come. And by the dynamic changes that have been happening in other countries and the U.S. when it comes to COVID, by the time you had to commit to the show and then build a display, it was too late for some of these factories to make that financial commitment.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, Trisai will really be the welcoming back of the world, I think, to a trade show. As long as things continue on the same path as they are now with COVID, Trisai will be where you'll see everything again the way you're used to it.
I expect a lot of people are just anxious to get out of the house and to meet people and to talk to, you know, their fellow players in the industry.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's just to see the people again that you've been friends with for 20 years is fantastic, and be able to be with them again, to be able to hug someone again, to be able to shake hands, to be able to be back to a semblance of normalcy was really fantastic. It really was. There was a definite energy in the air from the people that were there.
That's great. Now, does this change anybody's attitude, do you think, about the time of the year to hold this show?
Yes. I mean, it's the wrong time to hold the show.
Is the regular time the time, or could that be moved? And how does that affect attendance?
Well, first of all, no one's rushing to come to Central Florida in the middle of summer. You know, it's the same as where you live. There's no great draw. One of the great draws of going to an Orlando or Las Vegas in April is that it's nice compared to where many people are living. So that is a draw there. The timing of the show also for factories really doesn't make sense. I mean, you have, you know, when it's in April, it gives them enough time between, you have the end of September is Trisai. You have February is Sevi Sama. Then you're in April, you're spacing it out by a few months. When you put it into July like this, I mean, by the time that most large distribution companies would say yes to the product, the samples get made, the inventory gets on the water, it gets here, you're looking at the mid to the end of the fourth quarter, and many distribution companies won't even launch the product then. So now you're looking into the beginning of the year. So the timing of it doesn't make sense for that reason. You know, if we're buying things in April, we could be launching them in September. So, I mean, there's a huge difference when it comes to just the life cycle of the product, and you can catch that last quarter of the year, you know, and it just changes things. And I mean, for right now, think about it. You have a show that just happened here in America in July, and then in end of September, you're going to be interested. It doesn't really make sense. The old schedule was a better schedule. And I think everyone would agree to that. It makes more sense. It makes more sense for the factories to come in from other countries who then want to travel in the U.S. It gives them a launching pad time to get started. It makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. So in terms of new product, that's like everybody there had new products. Obviously, the ones that weren't there did not. So there was not as many new products as usual.
Correct. That is correct. And so you had to pick and choose, you know, the same way as always, and depending upon each individual company's open to buy and their current inventory situation.
I got you. Now, special events, I'm sure a show that's smaller and in a different time of the year like this one has fewer bells and whistles and events and all that kind of stuff. Talk about that. How extensive was all that kind of thing?
It was much less. You are correct. It really, that was not the focus of the show. It wasn't like in the old days, you know, a factory couldn't guarantee that a ton of their customers were coming in. I know of a lot of West Coast distributors that did not make the trip, that did not come in. It just, the dynamic was different. I mean, you could tell it was good. It was strong, but the dynamic was different overall. So you definitely had less of those events happening.
So this will go back to normal then, obviously, starting next year.
Oh, definitely. And if the business continues the way it is now, I mean, it's helping so many companies from what happened during the COVID time to now, you know, not only domestic companies, but also for the international companies to sell through domestic partners. I mean, it's a huge boon for everyone.
Yeah. Well, I guess, you know, it was lousy for everybody in every industry. I guess if most of your product comes from abroad, that just makes it twice as bad, I suspect.
Yes, it's the act of getting the product here has never been harder than it is right now. But I will tell you that is a problem I will gladly have compared to where we were a year ago. You know, there's always an issue every year in this industry. There's always some new cataclysmic thing that happens. Nothing's ever happened like COVID to this world or to this industry in my lifetime. And the issues and problems that we are all having today of getting the product here and of the logistics is far, far better than where it was last year where we were closed.
Yeah, it changes the way you look at the whole industry, doesn't it?
It really does.
So what kind of a year has it been for Arley?
Ridiculously crazy growth, snapback to well above where we were before the pandemic, instantly, and that brings along with it its own individual challenges and its opportunities to come with that as well. I think we've managed it pretty well as a company, and we've got a great team of people here that really, really care. And that is very helpful. We have a very loyal customer base that wants to do business with us, which also helps tremendously. Mm-hmm. And we have a very, you know how we do things here, Dave. We're unique in the partnerships that we bring from supplier through our own people, through customers, and try to make it a one big family, try to extend that Arley family out as much as we can. And that helps a lot when you're going through a hyper growth period like today.
Mm-hmm. So you said the growth was great this year. If you take the last 2 years, are you up for that 2 year period?
Yes. Yeah, we're up and we will be significantly up by the end of the year.
So that means individuals out there, companies and families are buying more ceramic tile, basically.
Ceramic tile, yes. We also have some LVT, so we're buying our LVT too. People are just investing more in their homes, and they are redoing some things. I mean, we like to look at it, every bad thing that happens has an equal and balancing good thing that happens. And COVID was an absolute terrible thing for this world, and a lot of people have passed away, and people got sick, and terrible. But it also kept people inside their houses, and they looked around and said, "Oh, I hate this." and that leads to a good thing on the other side for our customers and for us and for our suppliers, where people really looked at it and said, "Wow, this is not what I choose to be in." And this kind of happened, the last time this happened, again, another terrible thing happened first was 9/11. When 9/11 happened, and with us being on the East Coast especially, I mean, we were really affected from an overall business and all of us new people that unfortunately had passed away and these terrible things had happened. And about 4 or 5 months later, there was a shot of business that came through because people were cocooning. That's where that phrase started then. And they're like, "Hey, if we're going to be in this kind of world, we're going to live with nice stuff." And it was everything in the house, from TVs to, appliances to flooring. It was just this huge boon. And we kind of see the same thing happening again.
So is that playing out? Now, the reason I ask that is I've read a lot of things that say, well, now that things are opening up, people are sick of getting trapped in their house. They want to go, visit, national parks. They want to take mm-hmm. cruises. Is that happening? And is that costing business?
It's tough to say. It's definitely happening. If you're out there driving on the road, you see it. You see it in the airports. I mean, mm-hmm. you see it happening. We really have not noticed a huge drop in the craziness of volume. We are in the middle of July, and in the middle of July, people take vacations. And so we're noticing a slight drop down from where it was in the craziness of May and June, but nothing dramatic. And it's just, nothing ever goes in a straight line like this, but if it goes to higher highs and higher lows, I'm good with that. That's a great place to be. And that means everything still is going up overall.
Would you say that as we speak, there are more retailers that are carrying ceramic than were a year, 2 years, 3 years ago?
Yes. Yeah, I believe so. I believe that most, from the people that we sell some pure ceramic only dealers, the specialists. We sell a lot of general floor covering that sell everything. More and more people are realizing that, just like Shaw realized it and Mohawk realized it, you can't live on one product line, and you need to diversify yourself because your costs are your costs, and you need to be able to have as many touch points as possible with the consumer, and in our case, with our customers. So, what your job as a retailer is to get a customer into your store. Once they're in your store, your job is to never let them go. Yeah. So you need to have the right kind of product mix to make sure that they like something in there and you can sell them something. We look at the same way as ourselves. Our responsibility to our customer base is to have enough of a product mix for them that they look at us as their number one supplier, and enough of different kind of products in the same families for a low, medium, and high, and for design and simple, and really to make it so we could be a one-stop shop for them. And that's what one of the reasons we got involved with LVT. Our customers begged us to get involved in LVT.
Really?
Yeah. Because they like the service. They like buying from us. The truck's coming anyway. And they, why not buy it from us? So we went out and we developed an LVT line so that we could supply our customers. And it's just more that we're doing together.
So then the amount of ceramic tile is increasing or has increased the last couple of years. More people are putting it in their homes. More businesses are putting it on their floors.
I would say it's not increasing as a percentage of the market, but the overall market is increasing. LVT really affected the growth of ceramic tile in a negative way, but the overall market itself is rising. So in a rising tide, you know, all boats rise. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're seeing, is that the percentage of sales is down from where it was at its peak, but the overall sales are higher. Because the tide is higher, the pie is larger.
I've got you. Now, I can remember the last time we talked, you were talking about supply chain problems, obviously, and everybody in the ceramic business is having those problems. How much have they eased, or are they a thing of the past now?
Oh, they're worse.
Oh, really?
Dave, it's crazy, and anyone listening to this knows the story already because they're all living it. This is not unique to Arley. This is not unique to our industry. Truck prices in this country have risen dramatically. Bringing containers over is absolutely insane. We've had to increase prices, unfortunately, to our customers. We did everything we could to control our costs here internally, but our cost of delivery alone have gone up. An average container at the end of last year, all in to one of my warehouses from Italy or Spain, was about anywhere from $2,400 to $2,700, depending on where it was going to. Today, we're at $7,900 to $8,200 for the same container, and it's still going up. You know, the factories have been great. The factories haven't raised their prices. They've really done a great job trying to partner with the U.S., but all the cost factors coming in are freight related, and it's really kind of nuts right now.
I had heard something about the backup that were in many ports, that, you know, the ships were getting in, but they weren't able to offload the containers. Is that still a problem?
That's still a problem. It's not as bad as it was in March and April and the East Coast. I can't speak about the West Coast ports or the Southern ports. In the port in New York, it is still a problem. You have 10 free days in order to once the ship lands, in order to get your containers out, and our truckers aren't even allowed to get in there until the 10th day. So, and then, you know, if it doesn't get out that day, we're paying extra because of the inefficiency of the port. So it's kind of crazy how the system works, but there's too much coming into this country and not enough people to get it out.
So that's a perpetual problem. You're going to be living with this, you know, for a while longer.
Absolutely. Until they can either get more workers there or more ports open that are deep enough ports to handle the traffic, so they can, you know, take it out of the New York metro. You know, we bring all our stuff into New York, so then, you know, that's chaos right now.
So, have you ever thought about changing that, bringing it in someplace else?
We did, and we have. And then the problem with that becomes that the extra freight it costs to get it to you kind of takes away any advantage that you had. So we get stuck in that all the time of how we're going to make this work and what's the best way to make it work. And we bring it into a zillion different places, but the internal freight becomes the problem then.
Has the pandemic changed things? And that's sort of a double question. Number one, has it changed things for Arley? And has it changed things for the entire industry? Will things, because of this, be different as we go forward?
I think anytime there's a shock to the system in a negative way, it kind of cuts out the small guy. It definitely has accelerated the mergers and acquisitions in our industry and the consolidation, 100% it has. because whenever there's panic in the streets, money usually swoops in, and that's what happens. We've seen that. I think that's something that's not going to change in this industry. Going forward, you'll see more consolidation. Also, what has changed for Arley is, again, there was a great negative when things were shut down, and now there's a great positive. And the companies that have inventory, the companies that have logistics, the companies that have a great strong company behind them, including the sales force and the marketing and everything they do, are the ones that are going to grow out of this.
Yeah.
And that's what we see.
So when you say consolidation, you're talking about distributor A buying distributor B?
Distributor A buying distributor B, or merging with them, or you're seeing private equity get involved. More and more of that will happen as things go on in time. We're a very fractious industry. And at least on the tile side, we're a very fractious industry where other parts of our industry are not. Usually that goes towards consolidation.
So that was bound to happen. This just sped it up a little bit.
Correct.
I see. Now, your big event, you haven't had that for the last 2 years?
2 years now, yeah. We had to cancel it last year right in the middle of the pandemic. This year, we were really hoping to have it again, but we had to have everything committed and signed contracts in March of this year, and there was no way we could commit. It was impossible for us to make the commitment. And then when they moved surfaces and moved coverings to when they moved them to it to June and July, we knew to have our event would not work. We wouldn't get any factory support. We couldn't. They'd be involved in other things and even our customers. Now we're looking to have a giant welcome back next year, and that should be a lot of fun.
Well, the regular ones are blowouts. I can imagine what this one will be with 2 years off.
I will tell you that one of the running jokes at coverings was, what do I have to do to get to your show? Because everyone knows what it's going to be. Yes.
Well, that's amazing. Well, my hat's off to you. It's great to talk with you. And I'm glad that things are great coming out on this side. And always great, you know, just to hear your attitude. You're a very positive guy. And I appreciate you coming on the program.
Well, thanks for having me. And, you know, we look at it. There's always going to be challenges, Dave. Every year there's challenges. If there's challenges during a growth time, that's a hell of a lot better than challenges during a downtime.
Well, I guess that getting through this changes your attitude, and nothing can be this bad. So what, you know, the problems you do come across are easily scaled, I guess.
That we believe the same thing.
I got you. Scott, I appreciate so much you spending some time with us. You're doing a great job, and we'll give you a call soon anyway and talk again. Thanks.
Thank you.
We've been talking with Scott Levy. He is the president of Arley Wholesale, and you're listening to Talk Floor TV.